We want to continue our message that we began this morning. This is the second part. It won't take, I don't believe, too long tonight. But I want to turn again to in Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. And we won't really repeat a lot from this morning. We'll make just a couple of comments, but we want to continue on. We appreciate those that are viewing online. And appreciate that the online ministry that we have, and we're encouraged by the folks that do watch, and from various parts of the world, and so we're grateful for the online ministry and those that are part of the online ministry. So let's begin reading with Matthew chapter 11, verse 1. And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now, when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again, those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame to walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together, and Lord, we do thank you for this another opportunity that we can join together. We realize that we have many on our prayer list. That's many that's struggling with concerns and health issues, and some are in the hospital. We lift those up in prayer. But Lord, we just want to thank you for all that you do for us. I know we're needy people and we ask a lot, but you do so much for us, and Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, I pray that you'll help us tonight. We do earnestly pray that if there's someone that doesn't know Christ as their personal Savior, Lord, will you cause that person to realize that they need Christ, they need Jesus. So, Father, help us tonight. May we grow in you, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We titled the message this morning, and we continue with this same title, Why Doubt? Why Doubt? John the Baptist chose to seek Jesus during this time in his life. He was imprisoned. He was taken captive. He would soon face death. But yet, he still struggled. And, you know, when, I think sometimes when, and I kind of envision maybe how a prison would be, and I can kind of envision where a person might be and the fact that they're held captive, they can't go, and they have to do whatever they're told to do. And it's almost like sometimes we get trapped in life. We get trapped, in the circumstances that we're in. We get trapped, in this case, you would say you would get trapped in the walls of life. And that's where John was. And he asked the question, and it was a great question. The question goes, as I read just a few moments ago, art thou he that should come and do? Or is it the he that should come, or do we look for another? Let me begin by saying this evening that he went to the right person, which was Jesus. He went to the right person. He went to the right source. And that's important for us to understand, and that's important for us to do ourselves. You go to the right person, you go to the right source. And then he went at the right time. And that's important. As I was reading over this afternoon in my study, and I was thinking about this passage and thinking about the second part of this message, and it kind of hit me, the fact that he inquired and he asked the question when Jesus was working, when hearts were, things were happening. And so it actually says that in verse 2, when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ. So he was seeking him at the right time. And so Jesus was working and Jesus was touching lives. But John needed assurance, and he needed that reassurance, as I mentioned this morning. He needed that reassurance in his life because doubts do come. How can we find this assurance, or how can we find this reassurance that we need? We seek Jesus. We seek Jesus. I mentioned this morning that it was as we seek him, and as John was seeking him, we think about who he is. We think about his life. We think about his ministry. We think about the things that he did. And I want to share tonight, I want to just reiterate two points that I made this morning just as a reminder, and then I want to carry on with a few more things this evening. We seek him because that's him in creation. That's him in creation. In creation, his presence is there. His presence in creation. We also mentioned this morning about his power in creation. And then we mentioned the fact that it was his purpose in creation. And we shared those reference verses with you this morning. So we don't doubt his power. His power, his ability, the fact that he can change lives. And then we mentioned about that's him in the cradle. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, and as we approach the Christmas season, I'm sure we'll be reading in that passage sometime at as the Lord leads. But we see him in the cradle. Jesus came with a purpose. He came with a purpose. And that is to change lives. And that is also that he came to give life. The influence of doubt, and I mentioned this, and I do want to reemphasize this, and that is this. The influence of doubt can penetrate an unguarded heart. We need the Word of God. The Word of God is to help us and to strengthen us and to encourage us and to help us with the battles of life, the things that we deal with in life. We need the Word of God, and how the Word of God can help us, and it can strengthen. It can actually, although we're saved and we know that we're saved through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it also strengthens our salvation. It strengthens to where we can apply it to our lives. And how that we need that strength. We need to be strengthened. What would it be like if you didn't eat or if you didn't drink water? Then you would lose that strength. You would, of course, if you're like many, after eating Thanksgiving meal, you say to yourself, I'm never going to eat again. And until the next day. And then you say, well, I think I'll try a little bit. But the point is, we need the Word of God. And John was seeking Christ. He was seeking Christ. And we need that strength found in the Word of God because of the influence. And doubt, that is an influence. And there's a lot of influences out there. The influence of the mind and how the mind works. You know, how does the mind work? It's kind of like how your mind and it's none other than Satan. And I've spent several services talking about the influences of Satan and how that he tries to influence. And one of the things that people deal with, and Ashley and I were just talking about it, and that is the influence of doubting your salvation. There's one thing about salvation that I rejoice in every single day, and that is this: my salvation doesn't require anything of me other than accepting the finished work of Christ. You know, there's nothing else that we have to do. He's done it all. We're complete in Christ. And that's just, you know, when Satan tries to hinder, well, the first thing I want to make mention is there must be a time in your life that you've said yes to the Lord Jesus. There must be a time in your life, no matter whether it be day or night or whether it be Monday through Sunday, whatever day it is or whatever moment it is, there must be a time in your life, and only you and the Lord know that. But once you say yes to Christ, and once you ask Christ in your life, then yes, there's going to be some times that you might struggle, and there might be individuals that struggle with their salvation. But the most important thing is that we know that we're saved because of Jesus, because of that finished work. And so that's Him in the cradle. That's Him in creation. That's Him in the cradle. And then number three tonight, that's Him in control. You see, when John the Baptist was in prison, he was dealing with those four walls, if you will. He was dealing with the prison of life. He was dealing with doubt. He was dealing with these thoughts and all these things that go in your mind. But yet, Jesus is still the one that's in control. He knew exactly, just like He knows exactly where you are in your life right now. And for that, we should be grateful. We don't have to worry about where we are in our life because Jesus already knows. You know, I think about parents and their children. I think about the fact that, you're not sure, or even another family member or a friend, and you're concerned about them. You're not sure where they are in life. You're not sure where they are in their relationship with the Lord. Well, there's no stone that's left unturned when it comes to our relationship with the Lord. And He knows exactly where we are. He knows exactly where we are in our life. We might struggle sometimes, but He knows. So He knew exactly where John the Baptist was. He knew exactly where he was as he was imprisoned here. He knew that he was struggling. So Jesus gives him some reassurance. He gives him some reassurance. And He says, go show John again. That's reassurance. That's reassurance of those which he did hear and see. Well, think about this. Think about different, and we're going to share just a few things with you when it comes to this point. That is Him in control. But I want us to think about a passage of Scripture, and that is in John chapter 6. I want to read to you just a couple of verses. John chapter 6, beginning with verse 15, it says, when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take Him by force to make Him king, He departed again into the mountains to Himself alone. And verse 16 says, and when evening was now come, His disciples went down into the sea, and entered into a ship and went over to the sea towards Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them, and the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. And when they had rowed about 25 and 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea, and drawing nigh unto the ship, they were afraid. But He said unto them, it is I, be not afraid. Be not afraid. You see, with the anxieties of life and with the anxieties of these things, they see Jesus coming, and He says the words, it's I. Be not afraid. Be not afraid. You see, that's Him in control. That's Him in control. And if we allow Him to take control of our life, if we allow Him to take control of our life, verse 21 says, and they willingly received Him into the ship. And immediately the ship was at the land whither thou went. You see, allowing Jesus to take control. John's question was during a crisis. John's question was during a crisis. You know, we never know when a crisis is going to come. We never know when something happens as far as in our life and when it's going to happen. John's question was during a crisis in his life. And these men, as they were in this storm, they went into the ship as they went into that storm, the waters began to rise. The waters began to rise, and they were doing everything that they could. They were doing everything that they could, much like we do in life. We do everything that we can. We try to get some reassurance. We try to help ourselves. We try to do all those things. But it wasn't until Jesus says, "It is I." It wasn't until Jesus said, "It is I." And that shows that He has control. You see, that shows He has control. And as we're in this prison of life and dealing with the pressures of life, and when these questions come up and when doubts come, we need to remember that He's in control. He's in control. He's in control of all things. And Jesus changed the situation that I read to you just a few moments ago. He has power to control all things. But we must look to Him. He controls difficulties. This evening, I want to share with you a couple of difficulties when dealing with this point, and that is this. Do you realize that He controls situations in our life when we don't even know that they're happening until it's time? Let me tell you what I mean by that. John chapter 6, verses beginning with verse 5, the Bible says, "And when Jesus then lifted up His eyes, He saw a great company coming to Him and saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this He said to prove Him, for He Himself knew what He would do." See, Jesus knew what He was going to do. Jesus knew, but He still asked the question, "Whence shall we buy this bread that these may eat?" And Philip answered and said, 200 pennies worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little." So that kind of tells me that what we have within ourselves is not sufficient. We need the Lord. We need the Lord. What we have within ourselves, our own abilities and all these things, it's not sufficient. And John the Baptist, he asked that question because he knew what he had in himself wasn't sufficient for that question. It wasn't sufficient. He sought Jesus. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, "There's a lad here which had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many?" There's another example, is you just simply give the Lord what you have. You give the Lord what you have. You see, He controls the difficulties in our life, and you just give Him what you have. And Jesus says, "Make the men sit down." So Jesus is going to work. "Make the men sit down." And there were much grass in the place. So the men sat down in the numbers of 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, He distributed to disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, He said unto the disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." You see, Jesus has control. Jesus has control in our difficulties. He has control with the bread. You know, I was thinking about that, and the fact that He took those small fish and fed the 5,000, and those loaves. And you know, when we really stop and think about it, only Jesus can do that. Only Jesus can do that. They had a little bit of money. You know, they had a little bit to where they could buy a little bit. But you know, what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ is far more than what the world offers. What we have in Him is far more. And therefore, when doubt comes, we need to go back to the Scriptures and see things like this and how Jesus worked. Jesus worked, and that's what Jesus is saying here as He's talking to, giving the message to, to John the Baptist. He says, go and show John again these things which ye did hear and see. So it's evidence of what Jesus can do, and it's evidence of what how he can help us, even in our difficulties, because he controls these difficulties. There's a couple of more things that I think about, and that is this. He controls our opposers. Our opposers. And there's going to be opposers in this life. There's going to be opposers. And we see in Daniel chapter 3, and we won't take time and read the whole passage, but you know the story and many messages, and I'm sure that you've read it and you've heard it in Sunday schools and different preachers preaching, but I just want to just read a couple of verses here in Daniel chapter 3 as we think about the opposition. And that is verse 16. The Bible says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this manner. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. The opposers. You see, he's got control over opposers. And this Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they knew what the outcome would be. They were told, you're going to get thrown into a furnace if you don't bow down. If you don't bow down to what the world has to offer, what Nebuchadnezzar said. But in verse 25 of Daniel chapter 3, the Bible says, he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. They have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. You see, he has control in our difficult situations. The opposers. And there's going to be some opposers. You know, John the Baptist had an opposer. That's why he was in prison. But yet, although his life would be taken, as far as his earthly life would be taken, Jesus spends some time talking about who he is and talking about his testimony. You see, he controls our difficulties. He controls our difficulties. That's why we sometimes might struggle with doubt, but we can look up because we know who's in control. We know who's in control. And then I want us to look again in Daniel, and I want to say that he controls not only the bread, he controls the opposers, but he also controls the haters. The haters. Daniel chapter 6, verse 16. And again, I won't read this whole passage because you know it quite well. But I will read in verse 16. The Bible says, then the king commanded that they bring Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. He will deliver thee. You see, there was those opposers that was against Daniel. They was against who he was. They was against how he carried himself. They was against all those things, much like John the Baptist. They were against him. They were against the message that John the Baptist preached and the fact that he called someone out about their sinful life, and they were opposed to that. And he was in prison. But I want to read to you who these haters were. Daniel 6, verse 1, it says, and it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, and the princes might give an account unto them, and the king should have no damage. And then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because of his excellent spirit, was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm, and the presidents and princes sought to find accusation against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could not find no accusation nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. And so these haters, they were hating what he was standing for. They were hating his testimony. They were hating who he was. And so they were doing everything that they could to destroy him. Well, you think of how the world is today. The world hates a Christian, a born-again believer. The world hates what we stand for. The world hates the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. The world hates those things. But we shouldn't doubt. And if we do doubt, because doubts come, we can rest in Jesus. We can rest in Jesus. Then said these men, we shall not find any accusation against Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. And of course we know that they ultimately tricked and he was thrown in the den of lions. But God kept their mouth shut. And Daniel was saved. You see, he's in control. He's in control. He's in control against the opposers. He's in control against the haters. He's in control about the situation as far as bread is concerned. He controls the diseased. Jesus even makes mention about that. Those that were control over the situations, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead rise up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. Jesus healed the blind. He healed the lame. He healed the disease. He healed the crippled, and he healed you. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, he healed you. You see, that's what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we have in him. Others have a worthless religion. Anything outside of the Lord Jesus Christ and being saved through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is a worthless religion. A worthless religion. Jesus died on the cross. He was willing to set himself apart, which shows his love, it shows his power, and it shows the fact that he is the way, the truth, and the life. You see, that's what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is everything he claimed to be. Everything that he claimed to be. And Jesus is everything that we need. That's why John went to Jesus. In the midst of his doubt, John went to Jesus. When I read a passage like that, and when I spend time studying it, in a personal way, I find encouragement. Because in life, we do struggle with doubt. We struggle. You know, and I think me and Pastor Chuck's talked about this many times. Every Monday, we play back as pastors and preachers. We play back and we say, did I do everything that the Lord was pleased with? And sometimes we struggle. And then sometimes we even might even second guess ourselves. But you know, in life as believers, I think everyone does that at some point. I think every one of us does that at some point when you make an effort at something, or you try to accomplish something, but it's the Lord that gives the results anyway. It's the Lord that gives the results anyway in life. All we're told to do is to trust Him, to believe Him and to trust Him. And John got that reassurance when he got that answer back, in the fact that, you know, I can't help but think in my own mind, and this is just from me, but I can't help but think about in my own mind that Jesus knew that question was going to come. Jesus knew. He knew that John was in prison. He knew that John was struggling, and he knew that question was going to come. Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And I can't help but wonder, and this is just me, you can have your own thoughts, but I can't help but wonder, as Jesus was given that question, if Jesus didn't give a little grin and said, everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. Go back and show John again the things which you did hear, the things that you see. And then he gives a list about the blind, how that they received their sight, about the lame, how that they could walk now, the lepers that were cleansed, the deaf to hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. I can't help but wonder if it was Jesus' way of saying everything's going to be all right. And I think that's the message that we have this evening, is that everything's going to be all right. We just need to look to Jesus. We need to look to Him. Do you realize that doubt will destroy if we allow it? Doubt will destroy if we allow it. We simply need to seek Jesus. We need to seek Jesus. John did. So I close with this question. Do you believe as John believed? Do you believe? Is there something that you're struggling with, or is there something that you're dealing with that, you know, sometimes we carry a lot of burdens. And I don't know about you, but once you get one burden, they all start stacking up. They just come in various ways, various shapes, various sizes. But as we deal with life, and I call it life, as we deal with life, and as we struggle, as John struggled, we need to also do as John did and seek Jesus. Seek Jesus. We see evidence after evidence after evidence of what Jesus did in folks' lives. How He healed, He delivered, He raised up, He fed, He calmed the storms. And that's everything that we deal with in life. That passage of Scripture that it talks about Jesus constrained His disciples to go to the other side. And I think as they went in the ship and got in the ship and they faced the storms of life, and they were being tossed and turned in every which way, they were told to get into the ship and to go to the other side. They were going to go to the other side because Jesus said it. And in life, we have these struggles and we have these doubts, but we can be reassured tonight that everything will be all right because we're going to the other side. We've got a lot to be grateful for. And although struggles come and difficulties come, John gives us an example of what to do, and that is none other than seeking Jesus. Let's pray tonight. Father, we thank You for our time together. And we thank You, Lord, how that one of Your servants was struggling. One of Your servants was dealing with the problems in life. Help us, Lord, to seek You as John did. Help us to find encouragement as John did. Help us to find reassurance as John did. And most importantly, help us to look to You. Father, I pray as we have this invitation, Lord, if You've spoken to hearts in any way, Lord, I pray that You'll help. that people will come and talk to you. And Lord, we rejoice tonight over the salvation that you have provided. We're thankful for Jesus. And as we go into this Christmas season, help us to remember how important the birth of Christ was. Bless this invitation, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.